I'm a Man City fan. Of course Oasis are my favourite band. I said maybe. I'm a Man City fan. Of course I've never actually been to a real life match in my life. I'm a Man City fan. Of course I used to support Chelsea. I'm a Man City fan. Of course I think this is the most culturally appropriate way to dress when we're talking about our owners. I'm a Man City fan. Of course I think we're innocent of all 115 charges. I'm a Man City fan. Of course me wedding's gonna be at the Etihad. I just need to convince me cousin Shelley to marry me first. I'm a Man City fan. Of course our fans don't need social distancing. We've been doing it for years. The Etihad's always half empty.
Another match day in the books. Another international break is where we find ourselves. 3 weeks into most of the campaigns, 2 weeks into the Bundesliga, and already we're back playing international football. And this is where international football is absolutely the most annoying that it possibly can be. But we did have some great results this past weekend. A lot of great matches to talk about. And we have the Europa League draw and the Champions League draw to talk about, as well as the format. And it's really not the draw so much that matters, it's the format, because there are no more group stages. They are two massive leagues of 36 teams. And is it 36 or 32?
I think it's 32. Yeah, 32. 8, 8, and 8.
Okay. So 30.
I'm not sure.
It's 36 or 32. Yeah. I should have figured out which number was behind the three before I opened my mouth up. Anyways. The top 16 advance.
League phase is what it is. It's 36 teams.
36 teams. Yes, I thought so.
24
yes.
Advance. The last bottom, the bottom 12 do nothing but go home.
Right. Bottom 12 go home. And the top 16, of course, will advance to the round of 16 in each of their respective competitions.
And then the bottom, top 8 get a first round bye. 9 to 24 got to play each other,
right.
To play the top 8.
Yes, and that gets you into the round of 16,
yeah.
Which then becomes, of course, the knockout stage.
Yeah.
So that's a very interesting form. I do kind of like this because it adds – you get a lot more match diversity. You're getting Real Madrid-Liverpool. You're getting Dortmund and Real Madrid. You're getting – there's some big matchups. There's some small matchups. Minnows fighting Giants. Minnows playing Minnows. Giants playing Giants. It's really great. It's a nice change up to see, instead of seeing Celtic versus Man City or Bayern Munich versus FC Basel or Young Boys versus Liverpool. It's really nice to see some diversity in the Champions League. I think this is going to be something that we're going to talk about, which down the road, that was a good move, is what I ultimately believe. But Nick, how you doing, man? What you've been watching, what you've been doing? I know you've been working yourself to a bone over there, the Ciudad Bonita. So he's been doing a lot of stuff with Luis Diaz over there.
Yeah.
And my man's been selling some beers with Luis Diaz's face printed on the can. So what you been up to, my friend?
That's it, man. Just working, watching these matches. We got international football at the most annoying time, something I'll never understand, 3 weeks into the league season. And we got to take a break and watch two international matches for each international team, and then we move on. So, yeah, just that. Been enjoying all these leagues, man. I watched a in-depth video last night. Our buddy Nick did a video on YouTube, and they broke down all the Champions League phase instead of group stage. Now you get a league stage, and it's pretty interesting stuff, man. It's really easy. When you break it down into the pots, there's four pots. Each team will play two teams out of each pot, home and away. And then there you go, bada bing, bada boom. 8 games, you're done. And it's pretty interesting stuff, man. I think we're going to buckle up for a couple upsets. You know, the Sheriff Topolsky over Real Madrid upsets that we got in the group stage might happen more often.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what kind of upsets it would be, because I do believe that these teams have to take those matches a little bit more seriously. What you used to be able to do is just know that you had a guarantee. Like if you did get upset, you had at least a 3-point win against them in the past. And you know, I think the group that we thought that was going to, you and I have debated this. You know, you and I've debated this a lot about the group of death last year, and I still maintain it was the group of death, because the quality of the group itself was very high. There was not a lot of separation between the four clubs. But I think the reason that we look at it, not we predicted the team that finished first, we predicted last.
Yeah.
And the team that we predicted to win it came in second. And those two teams actually met in the semifinals. And the team that won the group, who we picked to finish last, if you're keeping up with me here, beat them in the semifinal and went to the final. And I'm talking about the Borussia Dortmund group with PSG and AC Milan and Newcastle. And I don't think that you're going to have it's going to be a lot tighter than that, I think, from now on. I think that you're going to be focused on making that top eight. You want that bye. You don't want to leave it up to chance to not make it or get knocked down into a situation that where it's must win, you know? So I think that you're going to see a lot more serious, you know, you could take a game off on the Champions League. If Real Madrid was playing Celtic or Rangers or something like that.
Well, you know, City was up 9 points in the group. Think about it. What would they do the last two matches or 12
points?
They
sit people.
They would sit people and you'd get a game against RB Leipzig where who the hell cares and it's a pointless game. Well, guess what? That is now going to be eliminated because you are going to play Real Madrid in your fifth or sixth match. And if you lose, you drop out of that eight, you're screwed. So a lot of good points.
Here's the thing to your point, though. Here's the point to your point, is the fact that a lot. If you had a game, for example, where let's say the third and the second team were playing each other, but you and or something else like that, right? But somewhere in there, I'm giving an example like Real Madrid's playing fourth place or Real Madrid's playing third place and second's playing fourth.
Yeah.
You need the, you know, like there's been circumstances where a club would rest players, but that affects you because you really need them to beat the team that's competing with you for the points. But because they've already won the group or clinched, they rest players, and it's almost an on-purpose defeat. And then the team that you need, but let's just say it's because of goal differential, right? That's a really good example. Is you could be ahead, you could be tied on points, but if I have a better goal differential than you, then I'm moving through. Mm-hmm. Well, it's not going to come down to that.
Nope.
Like, you know, the fifth game or the sixth game, which is always late November, early December, those games, sometimes for Real Madrid, sometimes for Man City, sometimes for Liverpool, sometimes for Bayern, sometimes for Barcelona, they were pointless.
Yeah.
They already had 12 points. They were in, right?
Point. Yeah.
So, but the team that was beneath them or the team in third needed them to keep competing to keep the, you see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
So they're in that. This is going to eliminate a lot of that too, where there's, I think there's going to be less pointless matches, but it also gives us eight, if you will, what they used to call the group stage.
Yeah.
It gives us eight pre-knockout stage matches, league phase matches. I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, for sure. And if you talk about league congestion, match congestion that Klopp would always bring up, you know, team like Liverpool, hey, finish in the top eight, and guess what? You get yourself out of a two-game aggregate, and you can cut yourself out two matches. So it gives you incentive to actually get top eight and to fight really hard for those top spots because you will get a break. You get to rest your players. You get that time off that's much needed. I mean, this is – I think it's a good idea, man. I think this is going to be really interesting. No more dropping down. No more consolation prize. All that's over with, man. You're in it to win it, or you're gone and you're done. There's no dropping to Europa. All that's over with.
That is correct. So we want to jump right into what happened this past weekend in the leagues themselves. The biggest match before the international break, obviously, and some would consider it the biggest match in all of club football. Definitely one of the most prestigious. You know, to me, it's not. I was talking to Steven. It's not even a rivalry anymore because when one team has got one win in the last 13, you know, Liverpool's dominated Manchester United over the past. I think the last match they won, Mourinho was in charge in the league, and that's like a long time ago. They have not beaten. I don't think they've beaten, if I looked at this correctly, Liverpool in the league in this decade yet. Nick.
Yeah.
I don't think they've won in this decade.
Yeah, it's been a while.
A lot of draws. They got a cup win that Jurgen Klopp could have given a shit about.
Yeah.
And they don't even count that. Like they only count like the actual like competitive league fixtures.
Yeah.
So in the last 13 matches, Liverpool have won 6 or won 7, drawn 5, and lost 1. It is a very one-sided rivalry, if you want to call it that. It's like you know, Clemson and Carolina. It's like, yeah, you know, Clemson has won
had it for what, how many years?
They won seven in a row. It would have been eight if there hadn't been a COVID break,
yeah,
where they didn't play, and then Carolina did stop the bleed. But that's not a rivalry, man. And you could name this for anything. It's Bayern Munich and Hamburg. They call that a rivalry. I mean, Bayern Munich's won like 58 to Hamburg's 20. It's, you know, Dortmund and Bayern is a little bit more of a rivalry, but Barca Madrid is close. Inter and AC Milan close. Inter Juve, AC, those are rivalries. But yeah, lately, United have really been in a bad way. Now let's talk about this, because we could spend an hour and a half talking about this. We don't have that much time though. Basically, I think that Arne Slot has come out in 3 weeks and convinced me that they made the absolute right hire. I could not be more impressed. I could not be more enthusiastic about what he brings to the table. I listened to every single post-match interview he did. His intellect, the way that he articulates, he is an intelligent man. He breaks it down for you, what he sees in these clubs, what he sees these teams doing on the pitch from last season to this season. He said, I saw this in their game last year. They did this, 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 and this. Between the number sixes and the number eights, this is how they maneuvered. This is how they used their possession. This season it switched in the first two matches that they played against Fulham and Brighton. This is what I saw them do, and we were able to capitalize on that. They go to Old Trafford, the toilet as we know it. Chiesa pointed out the big leak in the roof. By the way, he was pointing at that. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. It's probably the ninth wonder of the world. Yeah. That not being China or Andre the Giant. It's actually the leak in the Old Trafford's roof. And I want to just say that, was Chiesa more impressed with the leak in the roof, with the waterfall, or was it the 3-0 drubbing that Liverpool could have actually made 5-0? Nick, what are your thoughts on this match? What did you see?
I mean, Liverpool being Liverpool, I mean, they haven't allowed a goal all season.
Three clean sheets.
Yeah, Ten Hag did get a victory with them. We completely forgot about it. 2022, it was August 22nd. It was literally the beginning of the season. Two seasons ago, it was 2-1. Sancho scored. Sancho's now at Chelsea. I mean, long time ago, before that.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so that was the one. That was the season they won 2-1, but they lost 7-0.
Yes. That's what I was just about to ask.
That's probably why I got that. Yeah.
Now, forget about that, because they lost 7-0 in the reverse. Jose Mourinho was the last person to beat Liverpool. So
before that,
2018,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The match was great, man. I mean, I watched and listened to all the pundits. I watched all the highlights. I watched everything. Trent's goal was called back because of Salah offside. It was great. He kissed he did the Stevie G camera kiss. For them to call that back was a horrific thing to see. But man, they answered back. Luis Diaz goal. Jota on the pitch, man. I think he's changed everything, like the way he's played and what he's done tactically for them.
Gravenberch has seen Gravenberch a massive improvement. Yes. He has actually transformed Gravenberch into an unbelievable number six.
Yeah. And he's the Netherlands guy, man. He's one of his people. So it's just it's great seeing what Liverpool are doing and how good Slot has been taking control of this. Even like you said, I did listen to post match. Everything he's doing is right, man. I mean, to not allow a goal in first three matches is incredible.
With Allison in the goal, who can make some really just stupid brainbusters.
Yeah,
and you see this, right? It's thoughtful possession. It's not erratic.
Yeah.
It's thoughtful possession. It's intelligent pressing.
Yes,
and what I notice about Slot plays to everyone's strengths. He knows that VVD doesn't have the pace to get back. So don't play with a super high line all the time for the entire match. Klopp would do that, and that's when you would get caught with your pants down once or twice. And that's how these teams like Spurs 2 years ago, they're down 3-0 to Liverpool, and then they end up tying it 3-3. Only saved by a Jota stoppage time goal, which made Richarlison look like a complete buffoon.
Yeah.
But you shouldn't have to win against Spurs 4-3 when you're up 3-0. But that's the kind of live by the sword, die by the sword philosophy that Jurgen Klopp had. Slot is so cerebral.
Yeah.
It's just business. It's not, we don't mess around with funny business. And he makes these substitutions that make absolute sense. By the way, Let's talk about the subs for United real quick. I mean, it's we heard it time and time again from other YouTubers or whatever that he's trying to sack himself. Yeah, that Ten Hag is trying to commit football manager suicide.
Yeah.
Making Garnacho getting subbed off was audibly booed from the stands at Old Trafford. And by the way, Liverpool scoring these goals on the Stretford end, so they're it's right into the United crowd. The Diaz one-timer was just insane. I mean, right at Onana, and Onana just looked at it like he was a complete ball watching, basically just almost in awe of the shot himself as much as the goalie as we were watching it on television. It's just, I mean, he had a play for it. He was right there and just hesitation. And then, I mean, it was just a bullet shot from Diaz. So, cocaine for everyone. Everyone's celebrating. A brace from the Colombian god. Bogota's happy. There's white powder for everyone. And I just want to say that the substitutions for Liverpool made so much sense. The substitutions for United
make none.
So go ahead and talk about that, Nick. Let's talk about the subs. Garnacho going off. The Mark was actually calling. He's like, I forgot we had Antony. Yeah. I forgot we even had Antony.
Yeah.
$90
million.
You're bringing off De Ligt for Maguire, right? Wasn't that the sub?
I think so. Yeah, I'm pulling it up now.
De Ligt was actually playing really
decent.
Well.
Yeah. Yeah, it begs the question that does this guy even really want
career
his job
suicide.
Or care?
Career
yeah,
suicide.
I mean, he took Casemiro out for the 20-year-old midfielder, and then Maguire for De Ligt, Diallo for Garnacho, and Xerxes came off for Eriksen in the 86th. Just for kudos, just for the hell of it. And, I mean, not taking Rashford off is insane, and taking Garnacho off, I mean, it made no sense. Even the De Ligt substitution also, you can't figure it out, man. I mean, what's the answer for that? People are talking about, is it in Marcus Rashford's contract that he needs to play, or what's going on? Because no one can figure out why he will not pull these people off. And it just, you have to think that, is it really career suicide? I mean, Rashford hasn't scored since a friendly all the way back in July. I mean, even before that, the last goal he had was in the FA Cup against Liverpool. And it's just been a bad run for Rashford. His value's shot down about 60 mil. The guy just isn't good, man. I mean, you watch him, I watch him. It's almost like he's instructed not to press and run back. He's just standing around a lot. It doesn't make any sense how he stays on the pitch. And, I mean, we call United the gift that keeps on giving, man.
They really are.
We could do whole shows on what they have going on because they're just that bad.
Real quick, we don't need to really – so Liverpool 3-0. Three clean sheets, top of the table. You can't be more impressed with Arne Slot. He has been a complete, I don't want to say surprise, but just a very unexpectedly good addition to the touchline for Liverpool. I think we expected decent results. So probably somewhere between, third and fifth, but I didn't expect them to be flawless through three match days. No goals scored against, no conceded. All the goals scored for them.
Yeah.
3 points, 3 points, and 3 points equals 9. Yeah. United, your biggest rival on the road, you thrash them yet again.
Yeah.
5-0 a couple of seasons ago, now another 3-0. When is enough going to be enough for United just getting teabagged by Liverpool? I mean, I just don't know how much more. And then the audacity, Nick, for the United fans to talk shit to Trent after the match.
Oh, yeah.
I don't understand. I've never understood being hit in the mouth. You just got your ass kicked. You just got literally punched, socked in the face, and I'm calling you a bitch.
Yeah.
You look – do you know how ignorant and stupid you look that you just got your ass kicked?
Yep.
And you're the person
talking shit.
Or the team or the fans talking shit. The ignorance oozes out of you.
Yeah.
I would be quiet, humble, and walk my happy ass quietly back to my fucking car.
Yeah, get away. Yeah, get out of the light. Yeah, it shows their character, man. I really think United are just in shambles, dude. I mean, this manager, people are saying fire him by Christmas. He might make it till then or after, but there's no way this guy has a future here. I mean, I know they just signed the extension, but I mean, I guess they just couldn't find anybody
His
better.
His tactics don't work, man.
No, there is none. There's nothing. I mean, it's funny people talk about identifying his tactical approach and what's the formula and is he pressing, is he this and that, and there's just no answer. I mean, it's literally no tactics. There's nothing going on tactically to where you have answers to what Erik ten Hag is doing.
Let's talk about Rashford for a second. Rashford had two crosses into the box in the time that he played. And I kept hearing that there must be something in his contract that states that he can start and cannot be subbed off.
Yeah.
Because let's just be transparent. You and I were watching a watch along with one of the United pundits, right? Or not pundit, but one of the YouTubers. And because it's funny, and I watch it, I listen to it because it's funny. It's hilarious. When they're losing, he is hilarious. And he said must have something in his contract because zero shots, obviously zero shots on target, two crosses in the box. And he said sub out Rashford for Antony.
Yeah.
And because Antony can't do any worse.
Yeah, you can't do any worse.
Can't do any worse.
Yeah.
Marcus Rashford is 350,000 pounds per week, and he produces nothing.
Yeah, as much as me and you.
And it's like they said, well, why don't we sell him? Well, yeah. Nobody wants him. Nobody wants him. You can't sell somebody nobody wants. Nobody wants Maguire. Nobody wants Rashford. Yeah. These are players that have no desire, no destiny, because no one has a desire to have them on their squad. Not for that wage bill. You know, I'm sure that Bayern would love to have Rashford as maybe a backup second striker or backup to a Harry Kane.
Yeah.
For, you know, 100,000 a week.
Yeah,
but not 350. Yeah. I mean, come on.
100 million, they wouldn't. Yeah, because remember PSG was talking about getting him maybe 2-3 seasons ago, and the talk was like 120 mil, and now he's worth 50, and no one's going to pay that. I mean, who in their right mind would pay 50-60 mil for a guy who can't even, you know, get shots on goal, let alone goals? I think they're stuck with him, man. And he was an academy kid coming up. You know, Mourinho gave him the shot, Van Gaal, all those guys. And dude, to be honest, it just hasn't worked. I mean, you got to think he's just kind of stuck, man. 350,000? Nobody's going to pay that. Nobody will even get close to that. Nobody will want to pay 100. He gives you nothing.
He gives you nothing. So let's talk about this. Did we make it to Turkey Day with Ten Hag?
Yeah.
Now, it's the three match days in. They have one win, no draws, and two losses. The loss is, I mean, to say it's humiliating is an understatement. It's an embarrassment. And I couldn't be happier. I love seeing Man United burn in flames. I love that Ferguson is alive and well to see everything that he built burn to the ground like Rome. Nero has set the fire. Brother Nero has set the fire. And Rome is burning to the ground. It brings me the utmost satisfaction to see Manchester United burn to the fucking ground.
Yeah.
And Ferguson is in the stands every week to see Liverpool back on their perch.
Yeah.
God, it's great.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
So you said you do believe that he will be employed by Turkey.
Yeah, they won't. They won't get rid of him that fast. Yeah, maybe Christmas. I mean,
how many more losses can this guy absorb before we got to kick the can?
They're saying about six.
Six losses?
Yeah, about six losses by Christmas, and he'll be gone by Christmas. But I mean, that's what at least Mark's saying, and he's pretty deep in the United fan base. I feel like. He was saying six more. I mean, you got Southampton away. You could possibly win that. You got Crystal Palace away. You could possibly win that. Then you have Tottenham.
Palace is not easy, man.
No, I know they're not.
My man, what's his name? Mateta can put one on you real quick.
And I mean, Southampton could do something at their
Well, they said, so he who shall not be named said if they lose to Southampton, he's going to get the sack.
Yeah.
He'll get the sack, and we won't even make it to the end of summer. Got it. Because at the end of summer, what is it? Fall starts September 22nd or 21st.
Yeah.
He won't make it. He won't make it to fall.
I think that, it's a tricky one, man, because they get rid of him. Whatever's in his, Van Nistelrooy's in the waiting.
And they said he's right there. They have the replacement already right there. It's not like they have to go searching.
Yeah. It's like having your replacement watch you work. You know you're about to get fired, so how can you possibly perform?
So I want to name an example of this is Daniel DeRossi sitting behind Mourinho.
Yeah.
Really a club legend, just waiting for Mourinho to get the sack. Yeah.
And then he steps right on in.
And so I believe that very similarly that Van Nistelrooy would just come in, and he's also a Dutch player.
Yeah.
And you're not going to get away from the Dutch system, right? And, we're going to – I think it would be a pretty easy transition, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah.
So
– oh, for sure. But Christmas, man, I think he'll last till Turkey Day, and then it'll be a wrap.
Real quick, Arsenal and Brighton, what are your thoughts, man? I was a little bit surprised that Arsenal was able to – excuse me, that they dropped points. I thought that they were going to win that match. I was very, very shocked that Brighton were – Brighton plays up to the competition, and they're the very definition of a landmine or a hand grenade you step on or gets thrown at you. But I just thought Arsenal's quality would take over and they would get all 9 points out of the first three match days. And here they are, a draw early on in the season. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you have to stay perfect. You know, Liverpool's doing the recipe to keep up with City. Arsenal already have dropped 2 points now. You don't want to leave it to the head-to-head because City will draw Arsenal. They don't have a problem with that. They'll draw Arsenal. Draw Arsenal because Arsenal will drop points to Palace or somebody like that, and City will beat Palace 5-1 because City's going to concede one because they get so bored that they can they just got bored last weekend and conceded an equalizer to West Ham, and then of course Mutin very quickly put that
to bed.
That fire out. Yeah. So. But I just wanted to – what were your thoughts on Brighton and Arsenal? You surprised that Arsenal dropped those 2 points?
The red card, man. The Rice red card, big controversy.
First time in his career.
Big controversy in the football world. Some saying a little too harsh, second yellow. Some saying you'll never see that get called a second yellow again. He's off the pitch. And, changes everything, man. It's funny because Arsenal still had a couple chances. They're just missing that striker. I'm telling you, if Osimhen or somebody was up front, a couple of those chances would have been good. And someone who's kind of fallen off here, I want to say, is someone who I love because he was at a club in Serie D in Brazil. I remember when he was bought, I thought it was going to be a really good spot for him. Is Martinelli, man, he looked terrible. It's going to be trouble for him this season. I really feel, man, his play is going to be what his play was patched last season. And I think this season it's going to show that he just isn't as good as everyone thought he was, man. A lot of those, chances that he gets missed and, Arsenal could have actually won that match, man. End of the match, a couple of them could have went in. They didn't. And Brighton draw. And Brighton are in, what, top four or five, I think?
Of course they are. Yeah, 7 points out of nine, man. They look good. They've got a win over United. They've got
the draw opening, of Arsenal.
And they've got their opening day win. So
Brighton's looking good.
Let's talk about, real quick, Spurs, losers.
Yeah.
What, I mean, are we, how now, and then the match right after, my friend, this doesn't get any easier. The very first match right after the international break is the North London Derby.
Yeah,
Arsenal and Spurs. And we know that Arsenal are probably going to win that, right?
Yeah.
And so take into account that they just lost. Take into account they're probably going to lose again. That's 0 points from two matches.
Yeah.
I mean, how much longer is this Postecoglou character going to get? I mean, he's really, honestly, after the fast start last season, he has been a complete and utter failure because the points have been dropping since around, what was it, Christmas time last year where they really started to fall apart.
Yeah,
and then
right
in the spring,
Christmas.
It was a complete just fall down the elevator shaft.
Yeah.
So
defense, man, they don't.
Yeah, they don't have any.
That high line that they play, they let too many goals in the back and they can't. These players can't keep up. They didn't buy properly in the window. They, you know, Timo Werner, Slonoki, he got hurt. He's not even playing. I don't know, man. I think it was just a bad window, and they're going to have another bad window, and it's going to cost them seventh, eighth place, and Postecoglou will probably get fired, man. You're absolutely right. Yeah, he's been dog shit for since that amazing beginning run. He's been crap, dude, and it's going to be trouble for him because they're going to lose to Arsenal. If they beat Arsenal, I'd be shocked.
I'd be shocked, too. I think the best thing they can hope out of it is a draw. There's not – I think Arsenal's got too much talent, and they just own the mental advantage in that rivalry as of late. I just feel like that Arteta has Spurs' number.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a sad day for Oozing. Oozing's going to be Oozing some losing.
He'll be sick. Kind of like Liverpool and United. He'll be sick. Arsenal or Liverpool.
You know what's funny is, though, that Mark actually knows that United suck.
Yeah.
And I feel like Oozing – think Spurs are actually good.
Yeah.
and they're really not. You know, Spurs are honestly much better, if any better, than United. Yeah. They really aren't.
No, I know.
I mean, what Champions League are they playing this year?
No. Yeah, I agree. And their signings were just not the best. They spent a lot of money on guys who were overpriced. Timo Werner, we already know he needs to be at Dusseldorf. And Brennan Johnson, not necessarily the best. They got him last year, but still, man, Dominique, you know, the English tax was crazy. I think they almost paid 70 for
him. That's just
which
insane.
Is absurd.
Absurd for Dominique Solanke. Yes. And I have a good little information about him because I watched him at Liverpool after he left Chelsea.
Yeah, you saw
and,
him.
And Klopp just said, no, it's just not there.
Thank you. Yeah.
It's just not there. And I thought where he was last season at Bournemouth was absolutely perfect.
Perfect, yeah.
Mid-table in the Premier League. You know, and I say this, there's like certain equivalencies, right? There's like mid-table in England equals like sixth place in Germany. Mid-table in England is like top five in France. Mid-table in England. So you don't have to play at Bournemouth. You could play at Lens or Stade Rennes, or you could play at maybe Marseille.
Yeah.
You could play at, let's see, Heidenheim.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. You can play. Solanke could play at Stuttgart. Solanke could play at Stuttgart.
Oh,
absolutely could play at Stuttgart. But you wanted, you know, you're going to go to Spurs, and the expectations at Tottenham are so high because of the last 10 years of Son and Vertonghen and Kane and Richarlison and Lloris. And who else was in there? Eric Dier. Yeah. The bust that is Dele Alli. We know, remember that guy, right? Yeah. Christian Eriksen.
Poor guy.
Christian Eriksen back in 2017, one of the best midfielders in the Premier League.
Son's still doing it.
That's all they have, though.
Yeah, man.
So Solanke was a huge reach.
Yeah.
And they got English taxed, and they got swindled.
Crazy.
They got swindled. So switching leagues real quick, we told everybody last week, if you want to watch the leagues, the two best leagues with the best matchups are Serie A and Ligue 1, and we're going to start with Ligue 1. So Marseille, again, Nick, impressed. Greenwood does something besides beat up his girlfriend. He beats up the goal now, and he's been doing that all season long. I think he's in running. He's top of the Golden Boot chart right now in France, I believe.
So
let's
check in now.
Let's talk about this real quick because they went out and they took care of business on Saturday.
Greenwood is top.
Yeah, he would have to be. I mean, he would have
him
to
and
be.
Barcola 4, Greenwood 5. Wow.
Yeah, so he got a 16-minute goal and a 17-minute goal, two within a minute, and then they added another one on own goal in the 52nd. So 3-1 win for Marseille over Toulouse. They are unbeaten, 2 wins, 1 draw. They have 7 points right now. Then you had Brest finally getting on the board there. They won 4-0 at Saint-Étienne. They finally won one. Lyon also off the schneid. They had to come from behind, but they did so in spectacular fashion. Probably one of the best matches in France. We told y'all France was going to be a really nice league to watch this past week. The matchups on paper just looked too tasty to ignore.
Yeah.
And so Corentin Tolisso, former Bayern signee. Not standout. He unfortunately went there, got injured, and it never just took off for him at Bayern. But now he's back in France. He's back at Lyon. Scores the opening goal for Lyon, and then they added 3 more on top of that. They win 4-3 against Todd Boehly's play toy, Strasbourg.
Yeah.
And, on Sunday we had Monaco and Lens. They were 1-1. 84th minute, Denis Zakaria goal. Then followed in the 90th plus 4, Frankowski scores a penalty to leave it even Steven at 1-1. Nice 4-1. And PSG in the match of the weekend, they win 3-1 over Lille. My boy Vitinha, he scored a penalty. Barcolo scored, and Colomwani scored in the 90th plus two. So let's talk about this real quick. You know, obviously PSG is still on top, but I think there's some challengers this year. We have Monaco's challenging. You have Lens is challenging. Marseille's there. And, man, you got to be, you know, kind of you got to be watering in the mouth to see that Marseille PSG match, right?
No, absolutely. Yes.
What can Greenwood do against that?
Yeah, Goal City, man. I mean, this is probably one of the better years for France. Absolutely, man, with Greenwood, Marseille, Monaco, Lille. I mean, Marseille's been one of the most exciting sides, I got to say, in football so far. Just seeing what Greenwood can do, I mean, is absolutely incredible. You're talking about $120, $150 million guy busted down because of personal reasons to a menial, what, 20 mil?
It's unreal.
And he –
Yeah, Marseille got a bargain.
Yep, and he is absolutely running this pitch. He's bleeding with talent. I mean, the guy is incredible. And they have themselves a gym. I mean, you know, people can change. You're talking to one who has, so you never know, man. In 5 years, people forget it even happened. I mean, look, of course, we won't.
Yeah.
But, I mean, goals make people forget things, man. You know as well as I do that money and goals changes everything.
The mayor of Marseille did not want Mason Greenwood to play in his city.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you.
Now he's like, come on, Greenwood.
If they make Champions League, which, you know, there's every expectation that they might.
City.
Yeah, and it, I mean, God forbid they win the league title, then, I mean, you
he'll build a statue.
The internet never forgets, but he'll ask those comments to be deleted about not wanting to come there. Now, I don't want to minimize. Okay, look, we can talk about Mason Green. We've talked about him. We've done TikToks about him. Look, yes, he beat his girlfriend.
Yeah.
I think it's a horrific act. I think it's absolely despicable. As a father of a daughter, if you did that to my daughter, I'd be in jail for murdering him right now.
Yeah.
That is look, but everybody she forgave him, apparently. They got a kid together now. Well, they're gonna get married, or they are married, is that right?
Yeah. They got married and had a kid, yeah.
Okay, so he's a dumb kid back then who made a dumb decision, and I hope there's not a history of it, but look, you're able, if you can stay clean the rest of your life and you say, look, I had one bad day at the office and that was it.
Yeah.
You know, everybody deserves a second chance. I mean, why is it that murderers get second chances?
Yeah.
But someone who, just beat up someone else. Granted, it was a woman, which makes it five times worse.
Yeah.
I'm just saying he didn't kill her, but yet we are so open to giving people who are on death row a second chance for having murdered people. Like, hey, look, I'm remorseful. Well, maybe he is too. So I think that, like, if he does it one more time, he should be banned from the sport.
Oh, big time.
But if he really is a changed man, and he's a family man, and he's figured out the Mario Icardi way of doing things, you know, stay out of the clubs, stay with your kids, raise your family, then okay, I'm willing to give the guy a second chance.
And
I do commend it, you know. Yeah. And it's also nice to see if someone can learn from it and become a better human being out of it.
Yeah.
And that's the number one thing. If he is a better human being for having been a shitty human being, then I can't argue with that.
Yeah.
But he is a great footballer. He is a fantastic footballer. Let's not make a mistake about that.
Yeah.
And so, Nick, after three match days, though, do you think now they have the second most goals scored behind PSG, and they have PSG's conceded two, and Marseille has conceded four.
Yeah.
Do we believe that Marseille – do you think that Marseille actually have a legitimate shot at contending with PSG this year?
Yeah, man. I think it's wide open. I mean, you play PSG, beat them at home, and you could possibly get that gap a little closer. And then next thing you know, if you could somehow pull a squeaky win out – in the middle of their Champions League stuff or something, who knows what could happen. I mean, PSG don't have the big names. You know, they've changed some stuff up. They're starting the youngsters sometimes. This is a different PSG, but Monaco could possibly do it, man. I think this year we'll finally be talking about it for a little bit longer than we would last year, maybe for the whole season, man. This might be a really good race. French football could be back if it was ever here.
Well, yeah, if it was ever here, because let's just not make any mistake about it. The league is facing a lot of financial hardships.
Yeah.
The future of French football is very uncertain for a lot of clubs. It is not a good financial situation by any stretch. And we could talk about that for an hour and a half because so many, and as I said this last week, so many of tomorrow's stars played in the French league. I mean, we can talk about Ousmane Dembélé. We can talk about Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. We can talk about Zinedine Zidane. We can talk about Thierry Henry. They all started in France.
Yeah.
That's where they came from. It's basically their native country for most of them I just named.
Yeah.
I think Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang was Gabon, I think.
Yeah, he is Gabon.
Yeah, but everybody else played for the French national team. And there's so many more, you know, David Trezeguet. It goes on and on and on and on.
Usualist.
The French football is instrumental.
Yeah.
They
win World Cups.
Well, yes, they do win World Cups. Yeah. They win European championships. Yes. They've done that. So the bigger question is, you know, is not about right now the league's fiscal situation, but more or less, can we have a challenge
for
the title?
Yeah.
You know, Lille surprised us all a couple of years ago by winning one. Monaco was the team before that to win one but they had Kylian Mbappe on that squad 2017. Yeah. Other than that, it's been PSG for basically 10 plus years. So nice to see a change up. Switching over to Serie A real quick. So Friday had just two bangers of a match. Two bangers of matches. I don't know how you would say that, but I think we'll go with that.
Yeah.
Inter Milan. 4-0 over Europa League. Sorry, I almost said European champions.
Yeah.
Over Europa League champions, Atalanta. 4-0. Used to be Atalanta were a thorn in the side of Mancini when Mauro Icardi was there. Spalletti. They would always lose to Atalanta. They would just never be able to. Didn't matter if it was the San Siro. Didn't matter if it was the Bergamo. Atalanta just had Inter's number. And now they win. They beat them in convincing fashion. I mean, this is Inter's statement win right here that says, hey, y'all, that was a hiccup at Genoa in match day one. The champs are here, as John Cena would say. The champ is here. Come get some.
Come get
okay? 4-0. Our boy, Gemisti. Well, actually, that's an own goal, Gemisti. But like Nicola Barella in the 10th minute and then a brace from Marcus Thuram. I know you love yourself some Thuram. 47 to 56, 4-0. And then the surprise so far, Nick, of the Serie A season is Torino. They are tied with Juve and Inter for first place with 7 points. Torino get the win over Venezia. Saul Coco in the 86th minute pulls it out. So right now, the table looks as such. Udinese, Torino, Juve, and Inter. And of course, Udinese, too, is also a very big surprise. A lot, you know, they were facing relegation last year. But Torino, I mean, it's been a while since we've seen them in the top three. So international break right now, third and fourth place, Udinese and Torino with plus two goal differential. They find themselves in third and fourth. And Inter and Juve are first and second, both with a plus six goal differential, two wins and one draw, no losses. Let's talk real quick. I know you want to talk about this. Napoli.
Yeah.
You were worried. I told you don't worry. I told you, Nick, don't worry. You said Napoli's dog shit.
Yeah.
They're dog shit. And I said, don't you doubt Conte. Don't you dare for 1 second doubt Conte. Conte will get you across the finish line. He will turn your club around. What happened? You want to tell our listeners what happened with Napoli?
Red card to Parma. And it took I think Lukaku scored the first goal.
He did. 90th plus two.
Yeah, and then there was a winner in, I think, 3 or 4 minutes later.
90th plus six.
Yeah, Parma just could not hold on, man. Losing that extra man.
Yeah, Anguissa, he scored the winner.
Yeah,
2-1 to Napoli. So Napoli now two wins, Nick. Two wins and one loss.
After
the opening match they lost, but they bounced back with two wins. Okay, we said this last week, and we'll say it again. Milan are in trouble, my friend.
Yeah,
Milan are in a lot of trouble. They drop points again, this time to Lazio. Guess who doesn't have any wins this season, Nick?
Oh, boy.
Guess who does not have a single win this
Lazio.
Season? No, Lazio's got a win.
Oh, AC Milan.
Yeah. AC Milan has two draws,
dun, dun, dun.
A loss, and no wins. Pavlovic scored, and so did Leao, 72nd minute, but Castellanos and Dia score to equalize. Goals were four minutes apart. And then, so they took the lead, and then AC Milan equalized. No goals from that point. But Milan still winless. ESPN says their headline, still winless after the draw at Lazio at the Stadio Olimpico. we want to keep talking about this every week. How much trouble Milan are in? Did we say it or did we not say it? You and I both said Milan were in trouble. Yeah. We said this in the preseason. We said it, but when the season started, here we are, three match days, 2 points.
Yeah.
Okay. So how far down are we going to go? How much are we going to, how much, we're talking about Ten Hag.
Yeah.
Now, how much leeway are they going to give their new manager? How much leeway they're going to give him? You know, it's a high visibility job. You were Italian champions just a few years ago.
Two seasons.
You finished second place last season. You're in the Champions League again. Okay, so Milan, what are we doing here, right?
They play in the Champions League.
And I don't mean any disrespect like this, okay?
No, of course.
Hey, listen, I don't mean disrespect.
Yeah, we respect Milan.
No, not Milan. I'm gonna say something that could be seen as disrespectful to a certain player. But I don't think he's a bad player. But when your best player is Christian Pulisic. There we go. There we go, the American. When your best player is Christian Pulisic, Nick, do we have a problem or do we not have a problem?
Yeah, no, you definitely need more than just Christian Pulisic. Jesus Christ.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And I think he's a fantastic role player.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think he's a fantastic player, but he's not a Zlatan. He is not a even a Lukaku at this point who can take over a game when Napoli needed a goal. Who do they go to? Yeah. Romelu.
Yeah.
But Pulisic's not that guy. Pulisic is a nice guy to have on the wing that can support your number nine. That you know where Pulisic would be great? Like Barcelona supporting supporting Robert Lewandowski.
Yeah, Robert,
like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
no, absolutely.
Great support. You have him. You have Yamal.
He can't be your number one guy.
No, he can't.
Yeah, you're going to pay for it. And they are. I mean, AC Milan have been just absolute disappointment. I mean, there was some bozo who was picking them second. And you got to just kind of spit your coffee.
Who the hell
up
picked
and say,
them second?
Whoever I saw it on social media or second or third or something, someone was saying that AC Milan are going to be back this season. And I'm like,
back?
Yeah.
They were back last season when they were second.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I don't see where anyone sees them being able to finish above a Juve, Roma. Inter.
Oh, they're miles behind Juve and Inter at this point. They're miles behind Juve.
Exactly. The question's going to be how much pain can you take? Because they didn't do it much in the offseason. I mean, we talked about it on the preview show.
They didn't.
AC Milan did not make us.
The signings just weren't anything to take note of. And this is what we said, Nick. You and I both said this. And you and I both closely and clearly aligned with each other on AC Milan's future for this season. We said that if you look at it, can you objectively rank AC Milan above Atalanta, above Roma, above Fiorentina, above Inter, above Juve, above Bologna, above Napoli? Some of those, yes, but by the vast majority, no. Yeah. So you and I looked and factored in, okay, Bologna is going to be worse than last year. Fiorentina, usually sixth, seventh, eighth. That's where they usually file in. Mm-hmm. Atalanta are going to be fine. Inter, Juve, they're going to be pushing for the title. Napoli's going to be somewhere roaming around in the top five, top four. They're not better than Napoli.
No.
AC Milan's not better than Napoli. And I can guarantee you one thing. Conte is a better manager of the two.
Oh, absolutely.
By a mile.
Yeah.
He's done it all there is to do in football.
Yes.
So, what does Milan look like this season?
Yeah, I feel like Lazio and Milan are going to be right next to each other. They're going to be two peas in a pod and battling just to stay sixth or seventh, I feel, man. I mean, you can put so many teams ahead of them. It's just going to be a long season for AC Milan fans and Lazio alike. I mean, I know we both had Milan a little bit higher than Lazio, but Milan's in trouble, man. I don't see them.
I think we did, but like maybe a spot or two.
Yeah, it wasn't much, but both of those teams, I feel like it was a dumpster fire game this match here with Milan and Lazio, and it drew. They're both just that much of shit that, you know, you get a 2-2 match from two teams that should be way better than they are, and Milan's going to be in trouble, man. They're going to have to make some big changes. They're going to have to spend some money, make some changes when Christian Pulisic is who you rely on, as we see with the United States national team.
Yeah.
You end up missing the playoff in Copa America. So welcome home, Milan, man. You did nothing in your league in your offseason, and this is what you get.
Okay, so I watched the last match that I watched on Sunday was Juventus and Roma. It was a 0-0 draw. And I thought that Roma had chances to win it at the end. I really did. And, I guess my point that I made to you earlier is the fact that the best player for Roma is Paulo Dybala. Mm-hmm. And he never starts. He always comes in off the bench. How many more times they subbed out Mattia Sule for him, Sule. So when are they going to start Paulo Dybala? Is this some kind of joke?
Yeah, why not let him play? Yeah.
He's not going to get transferred out at this point. The reason that we're supposedly holding him back was because there was a move to the Middle East that was possibly going to happen. And they said in match day one, this is his farewell game. He's going to get subbed in, but don't get injured. Well, he's not going now. He's staying at the Roma. He decided to stay in Europe. I mean, this doesn't make any sense to me.
No. Yeah, man.
They still got, believe it or not, Chris Smalling is still employed.
Yeah, for Roma. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that says a lot. But, I mean, this match, I expected a little bit more, man. I thought somebody would at least score. But, man, I mean, you watched it. You said at the end it was a little bit of Roma?
Yeah, Roma had some chances at the end. They were pressing hard. They had the ball mostly in Juve's defensive third. So they were going for a winner. They were trying to get a late winner. You saw a lot of aggression from Roma the last 5 to 10 minutes. Let me put it like that. So, yeah, they were not trying to leave there with 1 point. They were trying to take all three. But they ended up with a split. And I think what more than anything it did probably for Roma was like a moral victory, showing that they could hang on the road at the stadium in Turin with Juve. They could hold their own, and they can prove that they can stay at least even keel with one of the better clubs in the league, especially on their ground.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, these are two teams that if you play to your expectations, then maybe you could challenge Inter. But I mean, we talked about it before the season started, and we were both expecting Juve to fight a little bit more than they did last year and maybe give it a little bit more of a challenge. But we don't know, man. Inter could possibly do what they do and run away with it, especially if Juve are going to play like that. They need to beat teams like Roma to catch Inter Milan, that's for sure.
Yeah, and the thing is that Juve faced the real danger of dropping all 6 points to Inter. And if that happens, you can go ahead and kiss the league goodbye.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, so going over to Spain, this is the only league that has four matches played so far.
Yeah.
They played one midweek this past week, and then they played on the weekend. Start right off, man, Barcelona 7-0.
Yeah.
I mean,
taking care of business.
This is a team, Nick, that is billions in debt. They didn't sign a lot of players. They can't sign a lot of players. But look at what they do have. They obviously got Dani Olmo from RB Leipzig, so he scored. You have Ferran Torres scored, Robert scored, Koundé scored, Rafinha scored a hat trick.
Mm-hmm.
Is this just a product of them playing Valladolid, or is Barcelona, are they 12 points out of 12, are they this good? 4 wins, no losses, no draws, 7-0. The goal differential, mind you, right now for Barcelona is plus 10, 13 scored, 3 conceded in 4 matches. What do we think so far?
I mean, everyone did not expect this. You expected Real Madrid up at the top, and you see Barcelona with 4 points ahead. I mean, I love it. I think it's great. I don't care who it is. Of course, I'd rather it be someone other than Barcelona. But at this point, whoever can be up top besides Real Madrid, I'll take it.
Take what you can get.
Exactly. And I know as of right now, Barcelona's in debt, $1.2 billion, but they are projecting a big income as long as they can make the quarterfinals of the Champions League. That's what everyone's projecting in their financial group. And that is going to help them get rid of some of the debt, but it's going to take a while. It was the ballooning, the wage bill that ballooned after 2015 Champions League and the COVID-19 pandemic and the mismanagement of the board that really screwed them up. And they are still fighting that away with a $1.2 billion debt. Hey, man, keep working at it. Get it down. I mean, I've been in debt. Some other people have been in debt and working it down, it works. And now I'm not in debt. So, hey, it can happen.
how they're still buying people and making it happen.
$2 billion.
No, of course not. But Barcelona is one of the top five clubs in the world. We know that. Yeah, we'll see Barcelona kits everywhere we go. Barcelona, Madrid, Messi, Inter Miami. You'll see, a United one every now and then. I mean,
I don't see many Barca kits in Charleston, though. I really don't.
Being that I'm at this Hispanic restaurant.
I've
been seeing my share. They come out the woodwork. I have a Barcelona shirt that I'll wear, and I'll get people who are like, oh, yeah, Barcelona. And yeah. I'm definitely happy about that one, because as long as they're not Real Madrid, I'm okay.
Yeah.
I'm not too upset about it, man. I mean, Real Madrid dropping those points was good. Mbappe did have the brace, but Barcelona, man, just keep doing it. I really wish someone else could step into that spot, but hey, man, maybe if Barcelona can hold on and not drop any points, maybe they can take it. But everyone was saying Real Madrid wouldn't lose, and of course they haven't, but I'd be God, they sure did draw. So that's something to be proud of.
They did. So Real Madrid finally get the win that they've been looking for the last couple of weeks. They had some head scratchers of draws, but they do find themselves now 4 points back of Barca already. As do Atletico Madrid and Villarreal. Villarreal and Atleti and Real Madrid all with 8 points. And right behind them, Girona's rebounded. They had a bumpy start in the first 2 weeks, but they've rebounded. They have 7 points. Alaves has 7, and Osasuna has 7 points. Now, two giants of the game in Spain find themselves in 19th and 20th place, Nick, that being Valencia in 20th place with 1 point out of 4 matches and Sevilla with 2 points. Room to have concern yet? 34 match days left, right? Okay. But look,
Sevilla went through this last year.
They did, but they barely made it out of it.
Yeah.
Valencia had a nice recovery last year. They finished top half of the table, but this is not a good start.
Yeah, you don't want to start like this.
No.
Yeah. I mean, I think the club should be okay. There's a long way to go, but they could pull Lyon, man, and be crap until New Year's, and then possibly turn it around. But what if you don't? That's the question. I mean, could you imagine Sevilla in La Liga 2? That's such a massive club.
I can't imagine Valencia in La Liga.
Yeah, Valencia also, man. I mean, it's crazy to think
about. They did, by the way, they just got their first point this past weekend against Villarreal. So they had 0 points after 3 match days.
Yeah.
So it's I mean, I'm just saying.
It's not looking good.
Not looking good. No. Not looking good. Espanol even won. I mean, we know how trash they are.
Yeah.
So you can't let these other minnows, and I mean, by no means is Valencia Sevilla a minnow. I mean, Sevilla is Europa League royalty.
Yes.
And Valencia is, I mean,
they've been decent.
They've been decent, Champions League final. It was a while, 20-something years ago. But, look, they've been there.
Yeah, Valencia's a respectable club. You can't see them in La Liga 2. Holy cow.
No.
Those fans would be sick.
And jumping to the fifth and final league we talk about today, Nick, the streak is over.
Yeah.
It is done. Yeah. Going back to May of 2023, the last team to beat them was Bochum, which was a throwaway game. It did not matter. Last year, they lost one competitive fixture in the entire season. That was the Europa League final to Atalanta. Yeah. They are the first team in Bundesliga history to go invincible, but they will not do that 2 match days in. RB Leipzig. They come in, and I watched this game, Nick. I watched it. Openda is the real deal. This son of a bitch went down, scored from an impossible angle, mind you, an impossible angle to equalize and get the 2-2. And then he had the confidence in him to go and get the go-ahead goal. Puts RB Leipzig up 3-2. They hold on. No late Verkusen this time around. It does not happen. Wirtz had a couple of chances in the final minutes. Couldn't get him through. And Gulasi held strong for the Red Bulls. Look, what do you say? I mean, this was a home defeat for Leverkusen. RB Leipzig, let's give them some credit here. They went on the road to Leverkusen, to the Bayer Arena, where last season Bayern Munich were completely embarrassed by Xabi Alonso's squad, and they take care of business 3-2 on the road. A very big statement win for RB Leipzig.
Yeah. I mean, all good things have to come to an end at some point. I mean, you can't really
can't really expect them just to keep that up, man, especially two seasons in a row. I mean, things change, man. Teams get figured out. Things happen. And, I mean, I really just – I think it was in the books that he was going to stay one more season, figure out what's going on, and then he was going to leave at the end of this year, and it looks like that's what's going to happen. Real Madrid's going to get rid of or Carlo's going to go.
Yeah, they're not going to get rid of.
No. You don't get rid of Carlo. They're going to bring in –
Everton did. How's that working out for you, Everton?
Yeah, that's a whole nother story. Yes. Yeah, they could be opening a new stadium in the championship. So anyways.
Oh, Bayern Munich also intelligently sacked.
Yes.
Carlo Ancelotti.
So, I feel like this season they're going to just be top four. They're going to lose some matches. And I just think Xabi will end up going to Madrid. He'll have that super team. And then they'll probably win, you know, 5 out of 6 Champions Leagues. I mean, that's just how it's going to go. And then Leverkusen will probably go back to what they were, which was Leverkusen, and we'll forget all about it. And we'll just cherish that first season of Beckham's Basement where we had the invincible season, man. I mean, history.
Yeah. It was historic, and it will never – I doubt it will ever be duplicated. Yeah. No, I mean, it's just something unheard of. But a couple other matches. Frankfurt off the Schneid. They get one against Hoffenheim, 3-1. Good win for them, solid win. The kid, I really like him. I watched him in the Dortmund match, Ekitike. He's really good. He scored in the 24th minute here. This is his opening goal here for Frankfurt as a player in the Bundesliga. I really like what I saw from him. Frankfurt as a whole looked a lot better. And then Dortmund go out and go on the road to Bremen. Hardly fought, very hard contested match. I did watch this match. It was 0-0. Yeah. Didn't expect this to be the way it was, but the expected goals. Yeah, Dortmund got a Nico got a red card. Yes, yeah. And it was stupid. I told you. I think I texted you. You were over doing shit at the restaurant, right? He knew as soon as he did it, he was done. Because he's already on a yellow.
Yeah.
Really didn't have any need
to do it.
He never went for the ball. Clear tackle on the guy's legs. And he got up and it was already yellow-red. I mean, but you know what's funny, Nick? When Schlotterbeck got sent off, Dortmund started to play better. Oddly enough. Yeah.
Yeah.
They woke up and they actually had some chance creation
and that's
down by one guy.
Yeah.
That they didn't have when they were a full squad. So you take that for what you will.
Yeah.
But it looked a lot better for Dortmund after the red card. Now, it's a draw at Bremen. Bremen have aspirations to finish in the top half of the table. Bremen have aspirations to get into Europe. But Bremen also have aspirations to even be as financially stable as Augsburg. And they're not. And I don't understand, you know, when you look at them, how do you do economics the wrong way? Bremen, 3-time German champions, perennial Champions League club in the 2000s, and somehow now they find themselves destitute. They scrap money up for players. They're lucky that Kiki Topp actually is a Bremen. He's a Bremen super fan. He grew up within the club. He went to Schalke for a year. They bought him back from Schalke for a whopping $2 million. I think he's going to have some potential. He's going to be a good player. That's a guy like a Marco Reus. If he blows up, he could be one of those guys that stays with Bremen for 12 years and dedicates his career to him because he loves that club. He started out there. That's it's his boyhood club. But beyond that, they don't have any resources to go out and get big-name players, so it just all has to click, you know? And it did, you know, for them to a certain degree. Dortmund drops the 2 points, so okay. Another one, Stuttgart and Mainz. I mean, this one, Stuttgart had no business losing this match. I was texting you the whole time. Yeah. I was like, you know, Fabian Rieder scored in the 88th minute to put him ahead 3-2, and you're like, that's it right there. Yeah. There it is. Yeah. Stuttgart's going to, okay, let's forget the opening day match where they lost 3-1.
Yeah.
They're going to get the win at Mainz, and then, you know, Maxim Leitch scores 90th plus 4 to equalize. Just unbelievable that they were able to come back, Mainz that is, and win this game. And now, you know, Stuttgart finds themselves right now with 1 point after 2 match days. And now the Champions League is going to get started. I mean, so they really
kind of both said that this could be bad news for Stuttgart. I mean, being that you get rid of Guirassy and getting rid of all your
Anton,
I mean, this is big, man. And we both read our crystal ball probably properly because I don't think Stuttgart's going to do very well, man. I mean, I was shocked with a couple
they did good in their Pokal match, I think. But, I mean, I forget who they played, who the hell cares. But I think they could be in trouble this year, man. I mean, you get rid of people like Gerasi and you could be in some deep trouble because Dennis – The Brighton ex-Brighton player, he might not be enough, man. You might need a little bit more. So,
well, they got Voldemort from Bremen, who they said was going to take off.
Yeah,
And again, Bundesliga's only played two matches so far. It's very early. It's very early. They're behind every other campaign in terms of matches played. But a team that is in trouble. Well, we said this. There's two of them. Holstein Kiel already again. They lost again. Wolfsburg blanked them 2-0, and then Bochum.
Yeah,
Gladbach beat them 2-0 with relative ease. We had Tim Kleindienst, who came over from Heidenheim last season.
Yeah.
And then Frank Onorat.
We Bochum to go down, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think we did.
We both said it's over.
Yeah. So they're down 2-0. That's how it stays. And then on Sunday, the team that I picked to finish in the top five and potentially made Champions League in just their second season, going into the first international break, the top of the table in the Bundesliga first is Heidenheim. Yeah. Heidenheim, they destroy Augsburg 4-0, just an absolute destruction. And everyone said when they gave up Tim Kleindienst and they gave up the players they gave up, where are the goals going to come from? Well, I'll tell you where they came from. They came from Wanner, Schinza, Beck, and Bruyne. That's where they came from. 9th minute, 30th minute, 69th, 73. That's consistent goal scoring and attack, build up, and successfully capitalizing on great scoring opportunities, chances created for the entire match. There wasn't a spurt. It was the entire 90 minutes where they pretty much dominated. Augsburg never really got into it. So 4-0 for Heidenheim. Really, really surprised at how good they've looked the first 2 weeks. Now, like I said, I picked them as a top five team, but they had a lot of turnover, Nick. I felt like they would probably get into the season later on as we moved into the Thanksgiving, Christmas time, maybe towards the end of the first half of the season. But they're off and running right now. And right behind them in second place are our good old friends, as we like to call them, Daddy.
Daddy,
and they've, you know, obviously, two matches, two wins. But right behind them, buddy, is RB Leipzig.
Yeah.
RB Leipzig. So three teams with 6 points and two below them with two. By the way, the other one in fifth place is, they don't look now, but here's Union Berlin.
Union Berlin.
So Heidenheim, Bayern, RB Leipzig, Dortmund, and Union Berlin are your top five in the Bundesliga. Yeah. Are you shocked by any of this right now?
I mean, it's just funny. The more I look at it, it's only been two matches, and you look at who Union Berlin have played in St. Pauli and Mainz. I mean, they could literally lose their next two and be right at the freaking bottom, being that they play Leipzig and Hoffenheim, then Mönchengladbach, then Dortmund in their next four. So Union Berlin could possibly get 0 points out of all those, maybe one or two if they're lucky. This is going to change so much. I do love that Heidenheim are at the top. I mean, Heidenheim is a classic Bundesliga 2 team for me.
Yeah.
I'm so glad that they are doing good. I love that team. I think it's great. When they were destroying the second tier, I was in heaven with them. I loved it, man. And seeing them up the top warms my heart, man. I love it. And like I just said with Union Berlin, it's only been two matches. You know, they played St. Pauli and Augsburg, Heidenheim. Long way to go, man. Heidenheim did advance in the Conference League. They came back and beat Häcken from Sweden. So they are in the Conference League.
In their first season ever in Bundesliga, they're in European football.
They are in European football. And I honestly think if they can just keep their heads together, keep that 15,000 people stadium filled, they could possibly go deep in the Conference League, man. I would love to see them get a European trophy. How crazy would it be to watch them in the second tier all from 2016 and on, go to the Bundesliga, make Conference League, and then advance in the qualification and then win it? How great that would be. But second match, two matches played. I do hope Heidenheim make the top at least four or five. I'd love to see it, man. It's a different face. And, I think it's great.
They have been told, and they are in the process of renovating their stadium. They've been told that 15, they have 000. To up the capacity. So they're working on that as we speak. But let's just for this league in general, just in particular, let's look at this. I want to say this. This is the match that we come back to from the international break. Friday night in Germany, Friday night for us, Friday afternoon. Borussia Dortmund hosting Heidenheim.
Yeah.
Is that getting any tastier than that?
Yeah. I mean, hell,
first place.
Heidenheim could win, man.
First place on the road at the Westfalenstadion against Dortmund. Both teams so far undefeated. Both teams Heidenheim aspirations for a title.
Oh, no.
I mean, but look, every club dreams of winning the title, right?
Start,
I mean, even St. Pauli wants to win the Bundesliga, right? Yeah. I mean, so how is it for us to say, oh, Heidenheim, you don't have – yes, they have aspirations to win the title. Are they realistic? I don't know, but so far so good. Dortmund absolutely want to win a title. They are salivating in the mouth. But you can't get any bigger than that. Right now, Nick, I want to say Dortmund right now – negative minus 270.
Yeah.
Minus 270.
Is insane.
Heidenheim is plus 575.
Yeah.
That's a little high for this.
Yeah, it's crazy. And you don't even gamble, and you even know that's crazy.
Right.
I would take the goal and a half or two goals and ride with it because Dortmund haven't been playing the absolute best, as you know. And Nico's should be suspended for a match, correct? Because he got the red card.
Yeah, Schlotterbeck will be.
Yeah, Schlotterbeck will be out. I mean, hell, man, you think to put a little 50-60 on Heidenheim and hopefully win? You know, what would it be? $550. I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Or you'd have to put $100 on them. But anyways, I think Heidenheim have a chance there. I mean, that sounds like a match. You said Friday. I'll have to have that on, man. I'll actually have a chance during break. Watch
that'll
that.
Be
2:30.
That'll
3:00.
Be 2:30 at September 13th, and so that next Saturday, Gladbach and Stuttgart. That's a big one. I mean, Stuttgart
Gladbach
really needs to get off the schneid. RB Leipzig and Union Berlin, another matchup of top five teams, and you know it just doesn't get any better than Daddy just getting the cupcake schedule out the gate.
Yeah.
I mean, it just you know who they play? Holstein Kiel. Holstein Kiel.
Yeah.
A guaranteed 3 points for Bayern.
Yeah,
so they'll have 9 points.
Score
I mean, is the Bundesliga
probably
just trying to give Bayern the title? Are we just trying to – we just want to go ahead and just say that we're manipulating this to the point
where
we're going to give them the strongest start possible so that no one else has any hope. You're so far behind. Why even try and catch up? It is ridiculous that they get this cupcake of an opening.
Yeah.
It really is.
I agree, man. I agree. They want Daddy back up top. They want all the eyes back on it. And Heidenheim might have other things to say, man. If they win the title, I will move to Heidenheim and become a citizen.
Holstein Kiel is at home, Nick, and they are plus 700 to Bayern.
Yeah, they don't have a chance. I think Bayern Munich will win by 4 or 5, dude. Watch them score three.
Absolutely.
They'll score 3, 4, maybe 5 goals. Easy.
Yeah, the Sunday match is really not that great, although I will say Mainz and Bremen, that's a mid-table – that's a mid-table's delight right there. Both teams so far, 2 draws out of 2 matches, and then Augsburg and St. Pauli. The other one, of course, Wolfsburg and Frankfurt, both of them coming off wins in match day 2.
Mid-table delight. I love
so
that.
So, it's the mid-table delight. So, we got to, you know –
Yeah, people like me and you will be all eyes on it, and other people
couldn't
know
care less, right? Yeah. So, I mean, that wraps it up for the leagues. Now, we did want to say real quick, is there anything of note is there anything of note in international play right now? You said there's some U-17 stuff. Is that what you said?
That match is being played because of some rescheduling. So we got Asian World Cup qualifying starting tomorrow. You got African Cups of Nations, and you got World Cup qualifying in South America. Argentina, Colombia next week. Colombia versus Peru Friday. Argentina play, I think Bolivia maybe. Argentina play someone tomorrow also. So we got some World Cup stuff coming, some international matches. Next week we're going to have to touch on them because there is no club ball.
That's right.
So we'll keep y'all updated on the international scale on Wednesday because really that's going to be the show. We can talk about World Cup stuff.
Also want to give everyone a shout notice and shout out to our friends at Charsenal. We are scheduled on September 22nd. That's a Sunday at 11:30 a.m. Eastern time. We're going to be doing a live show from Edmunds Oast Brewing when Man City and Arsenal match up for the first time this season. That is a league match. And that is massive. So that's last year's runner-up versus last year's champions. Big, big match. We're going to be at Edmunds Oast Brewing, Beckham's Basement. We'll be there with the Charleston Gooners. And, yeah, I mean, I was sworn to give that detail out to everyone. You know, come see us. Come in, yeah, even if
we'll
you're
be there.
We will be there. If you're an Arsenal supporter, if you're a Man City supporter, then I whatever. But if you're an Arsenal supporter, come see us, come visit us.
Did we see any City last time we were here?
We did.
We might have saw a kid, like an 8-year-old with a City jersey.
No, they're all at the sneaker store with their Holland kits, so they don't know how to spell his name.
Yeah.
They actually misprinted on the back. So.
Yeah.
the Man City stuff is tongue in cheek, but it's also very true. Also very true. But yeah, Arsenal. The turnout last season was amazing.
Yeah.
And yeah, we can't thank the Charleston people enough. Yeah,
we had a good time.
Hospitality was great. Edmunds Oast is great. So just wanted to put that out there. September 22nd, 11:30. We'll be there earlier than that because we are told that we need to get there early to get the seat that we want, which is facing the rest of the restaurant. So we have a full view and also the best view on the televisions.
Yeah.
So we can get there. So yeah. So we got international football this week and going into next week.
Yeah.
And then, of course, club football will be back. We'll be back next weekend. And was there anything else, any surprises or anything outstanding that you wanted to talk about? Any players? I mean, besides Greenwood, I think Greenwood right now is the biggest surprise of the season, how well he's adjusted to life in France and at Marseille. And I mean, I would say this: if people are willing to forgive him for his sins, then they stand to make a fortune when they sell him on.
Yeah, I mean, everything I wanted to hit on. We talked about the Champions League stuff. We talked about Greenwood, which is very important. We talked about Italy, the French. I can't think of anything we missed.
Will Garnacho be at Real Madrid? Is he going?
I don't know if he's. I don't know, man. He's so young.
That's what they kept saying: is that he's going to leave
and go to Real Madrid. I don't know if they would want him. I don't know.
He's talented.
He's
a good player, but
he is. That's a good question, though. I'm not sure.
I mean, Man United have a potential world class youngster on their roster, and they're not taking advantage of it.
Yeah,
because of tactics. Because of look at the substitution. I mean, just taking him off. Yeah.
I don't know. They'd be crazy to get rid of him, but who knows, man? Maybe because Real Madrid can get anyone they want. All they have to do is hint that they want you, and that's like going to the Patriots in 2012. Like,
but like you said, though, the question is, it's there. You have to be able to fit in their squad.
Yeah, exactly.
You can only start 11, and 10 of them are outfield. Yeah. So really, I mean,
10.
Goalie is who's set there. He's not playing to be in the goal.
No.
So it's just a matter of is he good enough? But I really think that his potential, he has a very high ceiling.
Very high ceiling.
Garnacho's really good. And
if I had to put money on it, I don't know if he would. I would probably, I don't know.
One thing I did want to talk about, one last thing. We started it off, we talked about it a minute ago with the sacking or letting Ancelotti go. I texted it to you. I said, please look at the score. I said, Nick, please look at the score. And I don't know if you did or not. We never talked about it. But did you see the Everton box score?
Oh, yeah. No, dude, I've been following Everton. I've been listening to the fans online.
They were up 2-0.
Yeah,
into and they the blew it. 86th minute, I think it was.
Yeah.
They conceded 3 goals to Bournemouth.
Yeah.
To Bournemouth. This is not 3 goals to City or 3 goals to Arsenal. Three goals to Bournemouth.
Sam will be
and
fired.
They lost.
Yeah.
They lost the match when it was almost guaranteed in the bag a win.
No points.
3 insanely, incredibly big points just gone. Yeah. Poof, in a cloud of dust.
Yeah. I mean, I talked about it in the England preview, man. I think Everton are in deep,
you did,
deep trouble.
And I didn't. And you have proven me wrong and proven yourself right. Yes, because you said Everton were going to be facing the gauntlet. And
yes.
They are.
I mean, that front office is a disaster. When your top is bad, it goes on, trickles down to that pitch, and then they sold their best player, I think they had. And I mean, they could literally be opening a billion-dollar stadium in the championship. How crazy and ironic would that be? I'm telling you, man, these fans right now are pissed. They could be in some deep, deep, deep trouble.
The only thing that Everton has going for them in that particular instance, if they did make the drop, would be the parachute payments, but that's it.
And they'd have to come right back up.
They have to. You'd have to pull a Southampton or a Leicester.
Yeah.
You can't see Leeds right now is fucking with fire.
Yeah.
Now, you know, you had a chance for promotion last year.
This is Leeds' last shot. If they don't,
yeah, they really need to come up this year. They really need to come up this year. But, you know, typically, like, Fulham will drop, they'll come back up. You really need Everton, cannot afford to be down there. We're being premature about saying that Everton are going to be relegated, but I'm, you know,
it doesn't look good.
Because let me assure you, like, Ipswich is not a very strong side, but Leicester's going to stay up. Leicester will stay up. So one of the promoted sides will stay up.
So.
And I think what was the statistic? Like, it's been ages since all three teams that were promoted in the Premier League all dropped.
Yeah, we did hear that. It was a long, like 22 years or something. And it was a long time
ago. We know Leicester's staying up. We know that. You know,
Ipswich, even Southampton has a shot. Better. Yeah. I think Ipswich will definitely go down, but it depends on how good Southampton can do. And then if Nottingham and Bournemouth and all those teams can still stay up, because if they do bad, then maybe Everton has a shot.
Everton, Godspeed, man.
They're in trouble, man.
It's looking bad.
Yeah, but big time.
Anyways, man, so I think that is it for today. We're going to leave this basement behind, turn out the lights.
Yeah.
And, yeah, again, everybody, September 22nd. And, yeah, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, at Beckham's Basement or at Beckham's _basement. You know, Beckham's Basement, just some variation of spelling. We'll be there with our T-shirts on. Yeah. So you know exactly who you're looking at, who you're looking to find. And, yeah, we hope to see as many people there as possible. And for the Gunners and the citizens on September 22nd.
Yep. We'll see you all there.
See you all there, and we'll see you all next week.